Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything.
It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible here on a Friday night. No Scotty. You get Carver High and Mafia in the mix on a pain-free Friday. A lot to do here. There's a lot going on. It'd be nice if the Red Sox could at least get a hit. 1-0, the Astros lead the Red Sox. And I think we got a hit here, Moff. Oh, we got a hit. Is that a homer or is that off the wall? Here we go. Hernandez down to third. So, Mafia, good evening. How are you? Finally, the Red Sox have a base runner.
Yeah, now I can finally wake up now that the Red Sox did. I mean, this was a tough game to watch. It was, you know, if you like pitcher performances, obviously that's great. But on a Friday night, long week of doing shows, getting ready for this show, just laying on the couch with the dog, I was ready to go to bed with the way this game was just going. Nobody getting a darn hit until now, finally, we got a little bit of action for Boston.
Yeah, now the batter before here against, now Garcia comes into the sixth with a no-hitter going. I mean, the Red Sox can't do a thing. Now, where is that hit? Is that over the yellow line? Let's get a look here, Mop. No, it is not. It is well below. So a triple for Kike Hernandez, and he will now be on third. Schwarber actually just missed the batter before him. He hit one way out to the triangle, and away goes Garcia. Dusty off to the bullpen here, Mop. So 1-0 game, top of the sixth. Evaldi pitched great. He obviously gave up the early run, got out of a lot of trouble. How many outs here, Ma?
Right, that wasn't his fault, though. That's Kike's fault, not his.
Yeah, so two outs here, man on third. Sox are going to get one crack to tie this game up. It's been, like you said, it's been a big pitching duel, considering every game has been over in this series before tonight. Now, we've seen another game like this in the series where then nine runs were scored in the ninth, so anything is still possible.
It is for sure. I mean, well, now that they get into the bullpen, I mean, Dusty was saying kind of coming into this game, he's going to piece it together, whatever he needed, you know, just get it through the game. And now it looks like they're going to be, getting the bullpen a lot later than they thought. Great performance by Garcia. Good bounce back from him after a tough first game this year. He's given up, what, 5 runs in one inning. So I'd say this is, just maybe a tiny step up from that, I guess. No runs through six. But obviously gets tagged a little bit here. Schwarber with the big fly that they catch. Now you have Kike hitting it off the wall. So we'll see how things go from here. Now they're bringing the bullpen in. Could all fall apart for Houston. Hopefully it doesn't. Hopefully we get a good game the whole way. But
and it's going to be up to Devers, Moff. He's going to be the guy up at the plate. Didn't see yet who the Astros are bringing in to face him. So Rafael Devers gets a crack. Little single. We got a tie game. In the top of the sixth. If the Astros can hold on here, they are a couple innings away from returning to the Fall Classic. And boy, would they love to this one, love to win this one, Mafia, and rub it in everybody's face. I mean, this is what the Astros are just dreaming of. Finally get Dusty one, kind of give it to, stick it to everybody that they won after the, you know, quote unquote cheating stuff that went on. Astros 5 wins away from doing that. They need a few more outs tonight.
Well, they still cheat. That's what the White Sox told us, right?
Yes. Well, they all still cheat. They all cheat. I'm so sick of it. Honestly, I feel like, Mafia, the Astros stuff's kind of stale. Like, I think we've heard enough, like, different stories, what happened with the Red Sox, the Yankees in London. There's always been some talk of what happened over there. I don't know. I think all these teams, the Astros are just the ones that got caught.
That's yeah, it was the old adage, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Yeah, exactly. Man, Garcia, 5 2/3, one hit, the hit that just happened, one walk, 7 Ks. So after just hits left and right for a bunch of games in this series, they get two big performances from Valdez and Garcia. We welcome in all of our radio affiliates right here. Pharrell on the bench, Sports Grid Radio, Carver High and Mafia, in for Scotty tonight. As I was saying on Coast to Coast today, Mafia, he needed off. He's had a lot of ice on him after the Ballers back in play. Week number two, need a little extra ice on the knees and the back. I mean, is this guy serious, Mafia? You see this guy, Devers, first pitch, he pops it up the short. Is he serious here after that? Oh.
And a high fastball, too. I mean,
come on.
96 or anything like that, but you got to let that off. Stay off that one. Let him throw a pitch or two. See what he's got before you start swinging at junk. That's the Ray Ardonia special.
Honestly, what is he doing? You finally get a little bit of momentum. You finally get something good to happen to you in this game. And this guy goes up and swings at the first pitch and puts it straight up in the air. Who do you think I'm on tonight, Ma?
Betting on your rivals there. I know. I saw you were actually rooting for Schwarber. You're like, oh, get it. We got a hit. Come on. I'm like, when have you ever rooted for a Red Sox home run in your life?
I look at it this way, Mafia. You know, it's one way or the other. You could bet on the Red Sox, and if they win, you win money. If they lose, you're still happy they lost.
I know. I'm never happy when I lose money.
It's one way to kind of look at it. But I've this strategy's worked out okay for me so far in this series. It's been all right. Man, I cannot believe that guy swung at the first pitch. I am absolutely stunned. All right, Moff, we'll come back. We'll get into it. We got a lot to do here tonight. We're going to go through all the NFL for Sunday, all the college football for Saturday. We have NBA games tonight going on. There's a lot happening. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High Mafia, in for Scotty, Sports Grid Radio. We keep rolling right after this.
It's a jungle out there.
So many possibilities, prospects, and probabilities. It's easy to become overwhelmed.
That's where we come in.
Relax. We're your trusted source for expert information on sports gaming strategies and information. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
And we are back. Pharrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty on a pain-free Friday. He'll be back on Tuesday. So you get us tonight, you get us tomorrow. I mean, this dude Alvarez just on absolute fire right now, Mafia. He's going for three. Oh, get him. He is slow. They don't get him, Mafia. He hits a triple. It's Yordan Alvarez, who destroyed the Red Sox Game 5 in Fenway, having himself another huge night here. He gets a leadoff triple. So a 1-0 game, bottom of the sixth. Devers screws up, pops the first pitch in the air after the Kike triple. And now Yordan starts this inning with a triple. And you know the Astros will get him home. They're going to be in a 2-0 hole, Ma.
When's the last time you had any playoff game, let alone an ALCS with back-to-back triples, you know, one inning to the next by each team? I would never expect it, especially Alvarez. I mean, the guy just missed one, a couple of pitches before that where he absolutely tattooed the ball but was just a little bit ahead of it. Otherwise, it would have been, you know, upper decker coming right down that line.
Yeah, and he's not exactly fleet of foot. So for him to get all the way around to third base, I mean, when he was rounding second, I mean, it was like the train was about to come off the tracks. I mean, he could have went down at any moment. But he's able to get into third. And here we go. The Red Sox changing pitchers now. The carousel will begin. You'll see a lot of this going forward. Mafi, we also have college football tonight. Memphis, nice job by them. I knew this was going to be a problem for Memphis tonight, Mafia, when this afternoon Memphis was a point and a half favorite, and about 20 minutes before kickoff, suddenly UCF was a point and a half, two-point favorite. So huge line swing right before the game started, and UCF has a 24-7 lead at the bounce house with about 4 minutes left to go in the game there. So UCF's going to take care of business. Middle Tennessee State whacked UConn in Hartford tonight in front of several, several people is probably the right way to say it. I can't say several hundred. I can't say several thousand. I'll just say several people, Mafia, were at the UConn-Middle Tennessee State game, 44-13, cover for the Blue Raiders. Colorado State and Utah State. I'm interested in this game tonight, Mafia. Mountain West, late night on CBS Sports Network. Scoreless, about 2 minutes to go in the first quarter. I actually like the home dog tonight, Mafia. Utah State, the Aggies, getting 3. Sword kicked down to 2.5 right before kick with Adazio and Colorado State, the road favorite. I would never back Colorado State as a road favorite, Mafia.
Yeah, there's certain schools that you can obviously do that with. A kind of middling school at best is not one you're going to do that. 500 record, 3-3, unbeaten so far in the Mountain West, but still to be a favorite on the road against a solid Utah State team, 4-2. I'm surprised about that. And go back to that UConn game. I think several is the accurate description there, because I don't know why anybody would go that game. I don't even know why they, at this point, it's like, why waste the money and have a program? Your coach quit, and you go from like, hey, he's going to quit at the end of the season, to actually he's just going to quit now. We're not worth him sticking around. Like, they were that bad in the beginning, 1-8 on the season. Finally, a school that, decided, hey, we're going to go basketball instead of football because we really suck at football. But that's probably just because they do suck at football. And obviously, if they were better at football or they could actually bring in some money, then maybe some conference would grab them up and they'd go, have things run by football other than basketball. But no, they are a basketball school, and their football program obviously shows that drastically this year, with 1-8. And it's not even just like a basketball with men's program. Their women's obviously is way better than even their men's team. So yeah. I'm glad they're back in the Big East, and I'm glad that the Big East doesn't have football, because otherwise it might be even uglier than it is.
Yeah, they should shut the football down. Just have your basketball back in the Big East where it belongs, but forget the football. It's just
pointless. Yeah, just run out the stadium to high school teams.
Yeah, that's – I think they play the soccer there, too. They do a lot of soccer matches in that stadium. That'll get enough use for it just out of that. We have one more game, a late night Pac-12 after dark action with the Washington Huskies, who have been just extremely disappointing this year. They are 2-4. They got off to an awful start, and they've really never recovered. But they're laying 17.5 on the road tonight in Tucson against the Arizona Wildcats. Mafia, I saw the coach earlier in the week basically crying on the podium when, like, his third or fourth quarterback got hurt. He's down to nothing. They're legitimately playing walk-ons at, like, several positions in Tucson. I don't understand how it's gotten this bad for a once proud Pac-12 franchise, but Arizona getting 17.5 at home tonight. The problem with me, Mafia, is like, I cannot trust Washington to cover this number. I just can't. They've been so bad all year. I can't trust them to go on the road and lay 17.5. I'm going to probably let this game start. I'll see where it goes. Maybe Arizona can score first, and maybe I can get a little bit of a better number on Washington. I think that's the way that I'm going to have to try to figure this out tonight.
Yeah, maybe play that way, or maybe look for the Washington team total instead of looking to include both teams in this. Like you said, you don't know what you're going to get from Arizona when you're bringing in that kind of junk filling the roster space here. It's just ridiculous. I don't know. I mean, that the conference in general is down right now. They're when you actually get at some decent teams, they keep falling to the lesser teams. Stanford's pulled a couple upsets this year and hurt them. I mean, Oregon is obviously the upper class of that division this year, that conference, but are they really that good? This is another year where then it's going to be It's not even a question if Pac-12 is getting left out of the playoffs, because they're just nobody worth it.
Well, me and Lisey were trying to figure it out the other day on the college football show if they still had a chance to get a team in. Now, Oregon is clearly the only team left legitimately because they have one loss. And even though Utah could win the conference, they got two losses already. It's not going to be enough to get them in. So Oregon's got one loss. Now, Oregon has not been very impressive since they beat Ohio State. That includes losing to Stanford. That includes a very poor performance at home last Friday night against Cal, in which they were losing in the fourth quarter. Nice job by them. I don't think, Mafia, that Oregon could get there. If they ran the table and only had one loss and won the Pac-12, I guess maybe, depending on what else happens up there at the top, they might have a way to put themselves in the conversation because of the Ohio State win. But other than that, Pac-12's got no shot. No shot.
No, they have no shot whatsoever. I don't even give Oregon any kind of shot.
Yep. Yeah, no. Oregon, no good. They'll lose another game. In fact, I think the other game that they're going to lose is going to be tomorrow. I think they will lose at UCLA. See, we'll talk about this as we go through these college games tonight.
But even if they went out, Mike, if you look at the look at what they're doing, I mean, they've only put up 89 points the whole season. Like, their defense is playing well, but they are eighth in their own conference in scoring. You can't be the top team and try to get a playoff spot when you can't even beat people, you know, by a good amount in a weak conference.
Then that's been the problem with them. It's like the Cal game last week. They were so awful. The Stanford game, they were awful. I hope UCLA beats them tomorrow. That'll end everything. I'm on the Bruins. You know, you get the unranked team laying points against a ranked team, especially a top 10 team. You got two of these tomorrow. You got two top 10 teams, Oregon and Oklahoma State, getting points at unranked teams. That is extremely fishy, Bobby. That's just the kind of stuff you have to open your eyes. You got to dig a little deeper here. What is going on? I'm playing all these games tomorrow with the unranked team's favored over the ranked team. I'm just doing it.
Well, listen, Oklahoma State hasn't gotten respect all year. Even, you know, against Texas, they were kind of, you know, not giving them the love that they deserved. I know they had to come back in that game, so it's not like they blew them out or anything. But I'm not surprised with Oregon because it's just not a great year for them. It's okay, but not great.
No, not at all. Minus one now for UCLA tomorrow, so we'll see what happens. All right, Pharrell on the bench, Carver High Mafia in for Scotty right here, Sports Grid Radio. We'll keep rolling. As the Astros got a lot cooking here. Runners on the corners and no outs. We'll see if they can put the final nail in the Red Sox. We keep rolling on the grid right after this.
Going through the motions. They were lifeless.
I don't like that or condone that at all.
I play it straight up, yo.
And we are back. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty here on a pain-free Friday night as we are taking in ALCS Game 6. We've got some college football going as Utah State, Mafia. The Aggies are on the board, 7-0 at home in Logan against Colorado State and Adazio. Let's go, baby. Come on, Mop.
Nice start there. And, I looked up the team total for Washington that we were talking about before, but that is sitting at 30.5. I don't know if I feel comfortable Washington doing that much scoring, even against a beat-up Arizona team.
Because here's the problem with games like this. Like, you're laying 17 and the total's 45.5. Like, they know that it's going to be no scoring in this game. Washington's offense stinks. Jimmy Lake, like, this is just the absolute game where you just have to sit. You got to wait and try to grab a nice line in game.
They've only scored over 30 twice. Once was against Arkansas State, and the other was Cal. Other than that, they're like a 17-point team. So
I don't like anything pregame in this game. This has got to be something where once this game starts and kicks off, we'll dive into it and we'll try to find some stuff that's worth playing. The Red Sox did add on, Mafia, kind of a weird play after the Alvarez triple. got a man on first. So runners on the corners, nobody out. Hit a grounder to first. Schwarber steps on the bag, or shall I say tags Correa, steps on the for the first out, steps on the bag for the second out, throws home, not in time to get Alvarez. 2-0 now. The Astros lead the Red Sox. We are going to the top of the seventh in Houston. And it, and here's the amazing thing for me, Mavi. Like, I just cannot believe how cold the Red Sox offense has gone in the last now 2.5 games. Like, they have just gone absolute ice cold. It's just unbelievable. After scoring a ton of runs in games 2 and 3, 4, they've just gone ice cold here. It's sick.
Yeah, they put the numbers up before. I mean, and they've only gotten worse since. You know, besides a couple hits here, they're like the one hit, I think, actually, that's right. It. So they were, you know, back in like the fourth inning, I think it was like 071 with one run scored since, you know, scoring all those runs in the last 2.5 games. So that's gone down, obviously, even more so with just the one hit over the other, you know, 2+ innings that we've had. So they are just going completely opposite of what, you know, they couldn't be stopped in the first couple of games of the series. We have 3 grand slams in 2 games, and all of a sudden you can't get a single run across the, you know, the plate.
Yep. It is amazing what it really is, how you can go ice cold out of nowhere. So now they'll hit in the top of the seventh. Bogaerts leading off. They will try to get something going. We have a lot of NBA tonight too, Mavi. There's actually – the NBA is really in full swing here now. Hornets beat the Cavs. The Knicks crushed the Magic. That was a cover. The Wizards. Yeah,
they were up 30 after the first on that one.
Were they up? They were up really after the first. They were up 30. Jeez, are you kidding? Oh, 36 to
or 20.
16.
36 16. I think 20, by 30. Some. Yeah, I think halftime they're up 30. It was like 65-35 at halftime.
Oh, jeez. The Magic are bad. Magic are a really bad basketball team. For the Knicks to lay out at home like that. Jeez. Who else do we got here tonight? I saw that. One second, where'd it go here?
Well, how about the Raptors, after they get smoked at home in their first game, go and beat the hell out of the Celtics in the Celtics' first home game?
Yeah, how about that? And then the Sixers blew a big lead against the Nets, right? Sixers had a pretty decent lead.
Yeah, they were up. They're losing most of that game.
114-109, Durant with 29, taking care of it for Brooklyn, who are now 1-1, Sixers 1-1 as well. Bulls beat the Pelicans. Did Lonzo Ball have a big night? We thought that maybe Ball would get some things going. A little revenge game against New Orleans. We talked about that on Coast to Coast today. Not bad. 17-point triple-double. That's not bad, Mav. 17-10-10 for Lonzo Ball tonight against New Orleans.
That's really good for him. I mean, even the shooting wasn't great from outside, 3 of 8. That's okay. It's solid. That's good percentage, 6 of 11 for the field. So he had a good game, yeah. Very efficient, doing his thing, and even a block and 3 steals. So I think that's a great performance for him. You know, you're never going to get Lonzo Ball, I don't think, to have some kind of huge, you know, averaging 24, 25, 30. You know, he's not going to be your superstar. But 17 triple-double, that's a great performance by him. That's probably what you're going to, you know, expect on a high game for him.
Yeah, no doubt. Good night. Rockets actually win a game. They're not going to win many this year. 124-91 against the Thunder. Who are
although it is pretty pathetic,
bad, if not worse.
When your point guard has 10 rebounds and your center has 4, Vucevic with 4 rebounds. He had as many rebounds as Vucevic and LaVine combined. Or even better, Vucevic and Williams, the power forward in the center. He had as many rebounds as those two guys.
Ridiculous. I'm all in on the Kings this year, as I was saying the other day. Kings and the Jazz just underway in Sacramento, 22-18. Jazz with the early lead. Spurs and Nuggets tied at 61 in the third quarter, and they're underway in Los Angeles. Suns and the Lakers, Mafia, 24-20. Lakers have the first quarter lead. That's your TV game, I'm pretty sure. That's on ESPN tonight. Second leg of that doubleheader. So early, what is Westbrook off to a little better start tonight? There you go. Westbrook, 2 of 3, 6 points, 2 boards, 3 assists. So, man, was he bad in his first game, Mafia? How bad was Westbrook the other night for the Lakers against the Warriors?
He was terrible. But, you know, that's when you get those kind of games from him, you're not going to get another one like that the next night. You know, this guy is not the kind of performer that's going to put a bad streak like that in a row. He's going to have one bad game, get it out of his system, and then go from there. I mean, it was a big night for him coming back home, first game in L.A. The guy grew up there, wanted to play there forever, finally getting that chance, you know, having a ball out against, you know, guys like LeBron and AD on his side. You know, he's going to want to show up and show that he can be just as good as them and lead this team. So there's a lot of emotion involved, and now he's going to bounce back and get back to normal.
And right now, Lakers minus 4.5, your live line. That Nugget game with the Spurs, minus 3.5 for Denver. So we've got a couple NBA games we will keep our eye on. Bogart struck out. J.D. Martinez now at the plate for the Red Sox. I mean, are they really going to go out here with no runs? Again, like, are they really going to come out here with a donut, a bagel mafia in game six? Like, seriously. Two games in a row, they're going to go down with a zero? Jeez.
That's what it's looking like. I mean, their offense has been pitiful today. One hit the whole time so far. It's just been brutal. I mean, I know that they made some little tweaks there to Garcia's the way he was pitching, and that apparently was why he dominated him so much. I mean, come on. There were some pitches there they could have hit, and these guys just were not doing anything tonight at all.
They really weren't. So tomorrow would be 8 o'clock at night, the game seven, if necessary. So the Dodgers,
they're not going to be here tomorrow. This is over tonight.
Maybe. And so that game's going to be at 5 tomorrow, no matter what, that Dodger-Brave game. So I guess they can't change the time if they don't know if there's going to be a seventh game or not. Man, I'd rather have that game at 8 tomorrow night than 5. But maybe the Red Sox will have a little thunder.
So would the MLB.
Yes. No, that is very true. Because let me tell you, college football is bad tomorrow night, Mafia. There's not a lot of great night games in college football. They would rather, and I think that they do that this weekend to avoid the baseball, which they really don't need to do. They're going to, in most cases, do better than them anyway. But your primetime games, big games, Notre Dame, USC, Indiana, Ohio State is the ABC game. That's brutal. Miami and NC State on ESPN2, awful. You said there's a UFC card on, that's on
that's
Plus,
tomorrow
though,
night.
Right?
That's afternoon.
That's
4 o'clock afternoon. Eastern tomorrow afternoon, and the Bellator is 3 o'clock Eastern tomorrow afternoon from Russia. So
wow.
It's going to be a weak Saturday night.
No good TV games. You're only like, you know, ABC's got Ohio State, Indiana. NBC's got USC, Notre Dame. Unless you're a fan of those two, I mean, you're not really going to be locked in. And imagine there's not going to be any baseball at 8 o'clock possibly.
Nope. Get the brownie points and watch a movie with the wife.
That's called a give-back night, Mafia. That's one of those nights. That's a give-back night. Where you plan this one out in weeks in advance. Now, obviously, you don't know that the game seven's not going to happen here between the Sox and the Astros. But once you find out tonight there isn't one, what do you want to do tomorrow night, honey?
Well, not for you.
Not for me.
9 o'clock, no, no, no. Islanders, Arizona.
Well, look, I got a dinner to go to tomorrow night, so I wasn't going to be in the mix anyway. You're right. Islanders got back-to-back West Coast games the next two nights. They're in Arizona and then in Vegas. Mafia, honestly, Sunday night at 10:30, the Islanders are in Vegas. Like, ooh. After a long NFL Sunday, you're going to drop the puck at T-Mobile at 10:30 at night on Sunday. I can't have it, Mafia.
At least they could have made it 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock local time, because the Sunday night game is probably going to suck, and then he could have just watched that instead. But
that's the one good thing.
Late start, man.
That game stinks on Sunday. Like, that's a tough game. We'll start getting into the games next segment. That's a tough game, that Colt 49er game for primetime. I mean, that actually is a perfect night that if they should have played, like, you know, give me a little 8 or 9 o'clock East Coast start between the Isles and the Golden Knights. Maybe I'll actually make it through the whole game. Sunday night, long NFL day, a lot of things going on. I'm not catching that entire Islander game. It's too early in the season, Mafia. I can't commit that much time to them.
No, that's tough, especially on a Sunday night. You're probably going to be running around with the kids all day and then the football, and yeah. Long day to be doing that.
Yes, it certainly is, no question. So we'll come back. Let's do the college first, Mafia. We'll run through some of these college games for tomorrow. Second hour, we'll get into a lot of the NFL games for Sunday. Pharrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty on a pain-free Friday night. We'll come back. Start doing some college. Keep our eye on the Sox and the Astros as well. Pharrell on the bench, Sports Grid Radio. We keep rolling right after this.
You're living through a revolution. Sports gaming is sweeping the country.
You can feel it.
Soon you'll be drowning in noise from posers and wannabes.
They have noise.
We have analysis and expert information.
Stick with who you know.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, and we're back. Frill on the bench. Carver, I, and Mafia here with you for Scotty. Off tonight. Got the ice bags on at home after the Baller game the other day. Got to make some surgery ready to go next week. Big win for the Ballers this week, Mafia. I don't know if you heard. They won by a lot. Big win for the Ballers.
Oh, they play this week? I don't know.
Yes. So Scotty back on Tuesday. So you get me and Mafia again here on the bench tonight and on Monday night. Tuesday, Scotty back in the mix for the rest of the week. Colorado State has evened it up with Utah State, Mafia. That is now 7-7. About 9 minutes left to go in the first half there. And in the ALCS, the Red Sox finally have something cooking. First and third, one out. Travis Shaw is hitting, Mafia, with Kendall Graveman on the mound. And finally, the Red Sox have something happening. Maybe they could push across a couple runs here, and we'll have ourselves a little bit of a thriller down in Houston. Let's go.
Favorable County here, too, with the 3-1. We'll see what happens. I mean, he's got to make some good decisions here at the plate, not try to push it. I know that they have had their struggles the last 2.5 games, as we were talking about, has been well-documented, but he's in the advantageous position here. Like, make Graveman come to you. Make him give you something. Don't force it and do something stupid like Devers did 2 innings ago.
Oh, man, I still can't believe that he did that. Jeez, swings at the first pitch. You get a man on third, first hit all night. What are you doing? Let's go through, Mafia, some of the college for tomorrow, some of the bigger games that we have. You mentioned this one to me during the break, and me and Lisi actually talked about this game a lot this week on College Football Full Circle. Oklahoma laying the 38.5 in Lawrence against Kansas. Look, I know it's a big number, Mafia, but – and Oklahoma had a hard time covering numbers early in the season. I feel like with the quarterback change and having Caleb Williams in there now, I'm not as worried about laying a number with Oklahoma. And if you look at what they've done to Kansas in the past 10 to 15 years, I think there's only been 2 years where Kansas covered. And most of the scores, Moff, are something like 63-7, 55-0, 67-10. Like, they have absolutely put the whooping on Kansas every single year.
Not only that, Kansas has gotten the whip and put on them by more than them, too. Iowa State beat them by, 40 points. You had, a bunch of the Duke, beat them by, 20 or something. Like, they've gotten whooped just about every game.
Imagine losing by 20 to Duke.
It's just about, 52-33, so 19 points there. Baylor beat them by 38 here. So, while it's not, my favorite spread of the weekend for sure, because I don't, laying those big numbers is worrisome, especially Oklahoma, who has not covered a lot this year. So, like you said, it's one that's probably what you should do, because Oklahoma should whoop them.
I mean, strike them out, throw them out.
No, you got to be kidding me.
And the seventh, they're just, it's not happening for them. It's just not going to happen. Now, look. They're running on it. I don't have that big of an issue. You got to make contact. Like, Shaw has to put the ball in play. You cannot swing and miss there. You can't. Oh, that's brutal. That's two innings in a row now.
You can't take yourself out of the damn inning. I mean, if he strikes out there, you still have first and third, two outs. You still got stuff going on. That's not a guy I think you should have been stealing with. Just try to make something happen. I know it hasn't been easy, but don't force it. I just said don't force things. Got a 3-1 counter. Obviously, he strikes out, so they worked back and got him down, but I do not like the steal there. The hit and run there was not the right time for me.
That is absolutely brutal for the Sox. So two innings in a row.
The guy hasn't even been up there.
Yeah, that's bad. It's just not happening for them. Even though they finally have gotten a couple guys on the last two innings, it's just not going down for the Boston Red Sox. They only have six outs left now, or else the Astros are on their way to the World Series. All right, more noon Eastern time kickoffs tomorrow. I'll put these two as a combo meal, these two Big Ten games, because they're both the same exact number. Michigan's laying 23.5 against Northwestern. Penn State's laying 23.5 against Illinois. Now, a couple things to factor in here. Next week, Mafia, is like showdown time in the Big Ten East. You have Penn State and Ohio State. You have Michigan and Michigan State. The question is, are these teams, even though they're at home, they're better, are they, peeking ahead out the window to what they have coming down the pike next week? Illinois is really bad, so I probably feel more comfortable laying with Penn State, even though Clifford's probably not going to play. I mean, I wouldn't play him. You should be able to beat Illinois even with your two backup quarterbacks. Michigan, on the other hand, Moff, I'm a little more leery of laying 23.5 just because of the style that they play, running the football, not a lot of possessions. Northwestern wants to do the same thing. It's the kind of game where I could see Michigan winning, you know, 23-3, you know, and not covering. It's going to be that type of football game.
I feel better about the Michigan one. I think that obviously Penn State has more to lose right now. I think they need to make up ground on these teams, you know, so I think they need to have a show of performance after the game against Iowa. They had the off week. And Clifford's back at practice, but like you said, you don't really need him, so it's probably not worth risking him. Illinois has gotten beat up by a lot of teams, so I think they should be able to cover that number. But still, if you're going to play backup quarterbacks, then I don't know if I feel great about that. Michigan, on the other hand, I feel great about that number because even though it's a big one, I mean, Northwestern lost 56-7 to Nebraska. You know, they got beat up by 17 to Michigan State. They, you know, they went and beat Rutgers, which just shows you how bad Rutgers is this year. That, you know, the high hopes everyone had for them early in the season, then they lose 21-7 to Northwestern, who's having a mediocre year. But, you know, against a Nebraska team that's terrible, against a Michigan State team who's good, but I don't think as good as Michigan. You know, they got smacked around by those two. I think Michigan can run over them pretty easy in this game, and I think they will.
I need one more win from Rutgers, Mafia, to match that season win total of 4. Just need one more win.
Well, that should be easy. Shadow's back, so the program's not terrible anymore, right? Wrong.
I looked at it as they had three pretty easy non-conference games to start the year, and they won them all. And they were competitive last year in his first year back in the Big Ten. I figured, one game to push, two games to win. Yeah, they haven't gotten the one game yet. Still working on that first win, Big Ten win in the season for Greg Schiano and Rutgers. By the way, Arizona Washington's underway, Mafia. Halfway through the first quarter, 3-0 Arizona. So
burner. What's the live line now on that? Did that shift out?
That's a great question. I'd like to see what we're looking at here in terms of live, because that is something that I got Washington minus 12.5. No total up right now. I'd like to see a total 44.5. So it's still kind of around the pregame. But now Washington's gone from 17 to 12 just because of the field goal. Utah State touchdown, by the way, 14-7. The Aggies retake the lead over Colorado State and Adazio. So let's go here. Let's keep pouring it on. All right, next. Wake Forest is one of the 11 undefeated teams in the country, Mafia. They are, of course, ranked now in the top 25. They visit Army, and Army gives these teams hard times, all of them. I mean, Wisconsin last week, throughout the years when they play Power 5 teams, it seems like it's a struggle. Minus 3.5 for Wake Forest on the road. A high total for an Army game, too, 52.5. Our boy Gopher the Two thinks that Wake Forest is going to be able to put a lot of points on the board. I'm not so sure. But I do think Wake Forest will win the game.
Yeah, I think they win the game. And, you know, with a shorter number, they should be able to cover that. If it was something you get up into, you know, a touchdown type of spread, then I might be worried about it more. I think they should be better than Army. But Army is tough, especially at home. If you look at the games they've had there so far, again, you know, they beat Miami of Ohio, put up 23. They put up 52 on UConn at home. They put up 38 on Western Kentucky. So all the teams that aren't nearly as good as Wake Forest this year, but still teams that you would think, yeah, they're probably better than Army. Well, no, Army's done a pretty good job so far this year at 4-2. Losing the last two, though, so they're on a kind of a slide here and have had trouble scoring with both those being on the road. Back at home, I think they have a good game against, you know, a team that's hyped up right now because of their record. I think they're going to get excited for this game for, you know, a ranked team to come in. But I still think Wake's going to cover this, you know, being such a small number.
Yeah, Wake's played really well. I expect them to win this game. That half kind of scares me. Army can really get you in a slowdown type of game. Keep an eye on it. It's not something that I'm
going to especially
play.
Going up to the academy. That could intimidate teams. You know, going up there, the cannons firing, everything. The recruits there in the stands in the camo or their uniforms. You know, that could be intimidating to a team coming in there in that smaller confines that they're not used to. But still, I think they can get it done.
This game I've been on all week. Number 2 Cincinnati minus 27.5 at Navy. You're going to get these big numbers with Cincinnati every single week now, Mafia. They are going to be between 21 and 28-point favorites against all of these teams in the American. The only game maybe they won't is the SMU game towards the end, but they're at home for that, so it probably still will be kind of juicy. They know they need style points, and they got to blow all of these teams out. They cannot even leave any kind of doubt in these dopey committee members' minds in a couple weeks. Well, you know, they played a close game with Navy. They need to drop the hammer on everybody. I think that they're a great play each and every week, even though these numbers are big.
Yeah, and even though Navy, you know, has had their time from year to year where they might be, you know, a tough team for a lot of, bigger programs. Your Notre Dame has had issues with them at times. This isn't that same Navy team. This right now is a down Navy team. They are getting beat up by a lot of teams. They're on, 1-5 on the year. Cincinnati, like you said, is going to be way more athletic, way faster. They're going to be able to shut down that running game that Navy, relies on so much. And then they're going to be way more athletic and fast on the offensive side, just throwing it over the top. I think they're going to cover because, like you said, style points are needed. They could, the committee could say all they want that it's not necessarily about how you win. It's just that you win. It matters how you win, especially if you're a small team like Cincy.
I do have to give you some breaking news with Baseball Mafia. It looks like Game 6 tomorrow night, Dodgers-Braves. Max Scherzer's not going to pitch for Los Angeles.
Really?
Jorge Castillo. Yeah, Jorge Castillo, of course, LA Times covers the Dodgers, just said he's not going to start. Mike DiGiovanna says that according to a source, Scherzer is experiencing general arm fatigue. No structural issues. It's possible he could pitch in Game 7, but it'll depend on how he feels tomorrow. No Max Scherzer for the Dodgers as they're looking to stay alive down 3-2. Look out.
That's big because, you were talking about that on Coast to Coast today, about him talking about being tired and that he's not the same guy. And obviously him and the team felt the same way, and that's why they're making this move. But, I mean, that's why you got this guy. That's why you traded at the deadline for him, because you couldn't rely on your big guys because – Bauer, who you signed, is out on leave with all his, drama. And your other ace is out, injured once again. So, with Kershaw. So you, brought him in for this kind of scenario. And now he's not really available either. That's a big, big blow for them.
Yeah, wow. That changes a lot of things. Look, they haven't been, like I said, they haven't been getting a lot out of him anyway. They just haven't. But here's where their problem is, Mavi. They can't throw Buehler short again. It didn't work because then if Scherzer's not ready to pitch on Sunday, you're in an even bigger hole. They just used the entire bullpen last night to get through game number 5. Dave Roberts is going to have to pull a real magic trick out of his hat.
Yeah, he came off the board right now, too.
Yeah, he needs to hope that his offense scores a ton of runs against Anderson tomorrow night. That's what the Dodgers are hoping for. Two outs here for the Astros. We'll see if Howe can get out of this and get the Red Sox back at the dish in the top of the 8th. Maybe they can score some runs. Farrell on the bench. Carver, High, and Mafia in for Scotty right here. Sports Grid Radio. We'll come back, keep going through some of the college games, keep our eye on the ALCS. Carver, High, and Mafia for Scotty. Farrell on the bench. We keep rolling on the grid right after this.
With people. Everybody expects every team in the effing league to win the Super Bowl. One team wins. The rest of them lose.
Nothing for you.
How about that? One last indignity.
And we are back. Farrell on the bench, Carver High, and Mafia in for Scotty on a pain-free Friday. He will be back on Tuesday. So you get us tonight, you get us again on Monday night where we have Saints and Seahawks. Mafia, that would be fun. I actually really love the Seahawks as the home dog on Monday night. I think Geno will be in the mix. I don't think the Saints are very good. But we will have plenty of time to talk about that then. We're going through tomorrow's college games. Red Sox are hitting in the top of the 8th. Dahlbeck is up. He's leading off. We'll see if they can get something going or how they can screw it up. Syracuse and Virginia Tech tomorrow, Mafia. Now, look, they're trying to trap you here. Here's Syracuse the last few weeks. Lost 17-14, lost 40-37, lost 33-30, won 24-21. 3-point games up and down the board, Mafia. The line's 3.5 tomorrow in Blacksburg against Virginia Tech. I'm not buying it. Give me the Hokies.
Yeah, I'm on Virginia Tech, too. If this was at the Dome, maybe I could believe in Syracuse. No, they had a nice performance against Clemson, so that's going to give them a little more juice than they deserve because obviously Clemson's having an off season, as we see by them being underdogs at Pitt. I'm going to go with Vatek at home.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that game, too, in hour number two, because that is one of the big games of the day tomorrow. I am fascinated to see if Pitt, the great mighty Pitt Panthers with Kenny Pickett, can get a win at home against Clemson. I've been waiting weeks for this Clemson team to show up. I ain't backing them, but I will be watching to see what happens. All right, Pharrell on the bench, Carver High Mafia in for Scotty right here on Sports Grid Radio. We will come back. Hour number two, NFL, college. Keep watching the Sox and the Stros. We're back on the grid right after this.